Wonderful day to be in the house of the Lord. Worship was just absolutely on target for me this morning, and I pray that it was for you. This morning, it's a different kind of message. I do not have a three-point message for you. I just really want to talk to you a little bit today. But we are going to look at Scripture, of course. I want you to get to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Luke, chapter 2. Remembering God's glory at Christmas. You know, 'tis the season for endless lists. Amen? Because I don't know about your family, but in my family, the list of things that we have to do and to get ready for by Christmas seems just to keep on growing. In fact, I think we have a picture of some of the lists that we have at our house that we have on our fridge, and there's some that are there that already have things scratched off on them. But we have a few lists that are hanging on the fridge at my house. But do you realize that 2 weeks from today, you're all reading them, I can see it. But 2 weeks from today is Christmas morning. And there's a lot to get done, amen? There's a lot of things. Do you realize that in 2 weeks is Christmas morning, and 3 weeks will be 2017? It's just a time of year that time just seems to go so quickly, so much to get put into all that time. So many preparations need to be made, so many things that we need to do, and life seems to get really hectic in December. Amen. Our list during this time of the year can get quite long. Would you agree with that? Everything that you got to get in, and I suspect most of your list looks like ours. But I got to ask you this: where is Jesus in all of this? Where's he at? Because my fear is that because of all the list of this other stuff and other stuff, and I'm preaching this to me too. Because all of this other stuff, our relationship with Jesus during this time of the year, oftentimes goes unchecked because we get so busy in all the festivities, and it doesn't make the list. Christ sometimes doesn't make our list. But we often say this, and we hear it all the time: Jesus is the reason for the season. Yet if we're not careful, Christmas will arrive, and we will have made no room for him in our schedule. Well, God's message for us this morning comes from the book of Luke, and it tells of a night when an entire town left Jesus out of and off of their list. So turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 2, beginning verse 1, and let's look at God's word. Listen, you go to the movies and you have to have popcorn. They just go together, right? So when you come to church, what do you bring with you? Your Bible. Amen. Luke chapter 1, verse 1, and it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, every one to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Let us pray. Father God, as I come before you, Father, I ask first and foremost that you bless the reading of your word. And Father, and as your word is read, Father, just pray, Father, that it will begin to penetrate our hearts, our minds, our souls, Father, that the words that have been written by you, Father, and inspired by you, Father, Father, will become very meaningful to us. They'll become very powerful to us. And Father, that we just don't read over them, but Father, that you would absorb them into us. And Father, that we would come to take these words seriously, Father, and that they would become a lamp unto our feet. So Father, as we come and stand before you as your church and sit and bow before you, Father, we pray, Father, that there would be nothing that would hinder your Spirit from moving among us. We invite your Holy Spirit, Father, into this message. We ask that you move powerfully in it. And Father, that you would forgive us of our sin. Father, there would be nothing that would stand between you and us and is your church, Father. And Father, I pray that you would forgive me of my sin and help me, Father, for you know who I am. And I am one who is not worthy apart from your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Father, I pray that you would forgive me my sin. Father, if I'm the one that you would choose to read and preach your word today, Father, I pray, Father, that you would allow it. If I am not, that you would begin already to silence my lips and not allow me to speak as to do an injustice to you. But, Father, I pray that you be glorified in all that is said and done here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, I've only shared with you a very small portion of the Christmas story, but I would have to say that most know it, amen. And no matter how many times you've heard it, you cannot escape the wonder that it reveals each and every time that you read it. Every time I read the Christmas story, it's just something new that comes to me. The story is old, but it is always new, and God's people never tire of it, amen. I never get tired of the Christmas story. Luke's narrative is factual down to the finest details, and it places a dot on the timeline of history. In other words, the birth of Jesus Christ put a dot in the timeline of history and said there's a period here, and now we're going to move forward. Okay, so here is what we know is that Caesar Augustus issued an order that everyone had to be registered for the census. Now, I believe you all know what a census is. A census is a systematic method of counting the population. The Constitution of the United States of America mandates in this country that a census is to be taken every 10 years. But in this country, the government comes to us to take a count either by mail or in person. Somebody will come and knock on your door, or they send you something, and the government comes to you. We are not required to travel and to go to them. But during the reign of Caesar Augustus, each Jewish male had to return to the city of their father. They had to return to the ancestral birthplace to register. They had to register their name, their occupation, the property, whatever property they had, and family. So, you know, Joseph is taking Mary, so he has to register her now. So for Joseph and Mary, who resided in Nazareth, this meant that they would have to travel to Joseph's ancestral birthplace, which was Bethlehem. Now, you have to understand this. This would not have been an easy journey, because Nazareth was about 1,200 feet above sea level. That doesn't seem like a big deal, does it? But watch, it's going to be. So it was likely that they would have followed the normal route down to the Jordan Valley to avoid Samaria. Jews avoided Samaria, so they would have taken the normal route down to the Jordan Valley and descended 800 feet below sea level. They were 1,200 above. Now they're going to travel down to 800 feet below sea level, a distance of about 80 miles. And then for 15 miles, they would have climbed 3,600 feet to Jerusalem. They went down, and now they're going back up to 3,600 feet, which would have been a very steep, hilly, mountainous climb. And finally, they would have traveled the last 5 miles to Bethlehem. And you must remember, Mary was 9 months pregnant. This would have been quite a trip for her. This would not have been easy. It wouldn't have been like going on a vacation like we know it today. Also, the Bible presents Joseph and Mary as objectively poor. They would have been poverty, okay? These facts are confirmed by the fact that the Mosaic law, the law of Moses, that the Mosaic law required that every firstborn male was to be consecrated or dedicated to the Lord, and a sacrifice was to be offered to the Lord when they took that child in for dedication. Now, the law of purification listed in Leviticus 12:6 required the sacrifice to be a 1-year-old lamb. And the only exception to the lamb sacrifice is given in Leviticus chapter 12, verse 8, which stated this: if a woman cannot afford a lamb, she was to bring two doves or two pigeons as the sacrifice. And so in Luke chapter 2, verse 24, we are told that after Jesus was born, that Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him, to dedicate him to the Lord, and offer a sacrifice of either two doves or two young pigeons. So based on these things alone, we can surmise that Mary and Joseph lived in abject poverty. Therefore, the picture, so I'm injecturing some stuff into this. Therefore, the picture of the tradition picture that you see Joseph and Mary riding on a donkey into Bethlehem was very doubtful. Therefore, more than likely, the mother of your Savior, at full term in her pregnancy, made this difficult 100-mile journey on foot. And I can also imagine that Joseph and Mary and the weeks and days leading up to the trip to Bethlehem probably had a checklist or two of their own. Let me ask you, when you go on a trip, do you make a checklist? All you women, come on, wake up. I know better than that. You make a checklist. Because surely you don't set out on a trip of such a nature without preparing, amen? Now, the average person can walk about 3 miles an hour. So if they walked 10 to 12 hours a day, this trip probably would have taken at least 3 days. And that's if we don't consider the pregnancy slowing them down. So for a 3 to 5 day trip, they would obviously need to prepare water. They would need to prepare food. There would not have been a McDonald's or a Wendy's every 10 miles along the trip. You didn't get your famous camel burger right here. They didn't have that, all right? So they would have to be prepared, they would have to prepare enough food and drink to sustain them for the trip to the census. And they would also need to be prepared for the return trip from the census. So I'm sure that Joseph would have had gathered up documentation for that, for the census, of his ancestral lineage and proving that who he was the lineage of and any evidence of property that he may have had inherited and anything else that would need to be registered for him at that census. But also Joseph, as the earthly father whom Jesus entrusted his son to, amen, Joseph would have had to make some preparations for Mary, just in case she could not complete the journey on foot. Sounds sensible, right? She's 9 months pregnant. They're going on a long journey. So he would have to make provisions for that in case she couldn't make it. But, you know, men, here's what I want you to do, men. I want you to put yourselves in this scene. All you women are thinking, oh, my gosh. I can see it on Leslie's face. There ain't no way. But men, put yourselves into this scene. Think about the care and planning that would have been necessary if you were to set out on this difficult journey with a very pregnant wife on foot. And I'm pretty sure that Mary's list would have made preparations for the baby that she knew would be arriving soon. She would have known that was a possibility. So maybe Mary, perhaps she prepared things like swaddling clothes and blankets were near the top of her list. And then as others traveled for the census, they too would have made a list, and they all would need all the things that they would need to begin and complete their journey. Amen. So all these other people that are going into the same place that they are all have their list as well. However, God's word reveals to us that with the exception of Joseph and Mary, the rest of the world left Jesus completely off their list. And I also need to tell you that the whole world on the night that Jesus was born is not a whole lot different than the world that we live in right now. You see, we all know the Christmas story, amen? We all know that. In fact, even people who do not profess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they understand that Christmas is about the birth of Jesus. And I think I've told you this before, but I have a neighbor. They are absolutely wonderful, great neighbors, wonderful people. But I have neighbors who claim to be atheists, but yet every single Christmas, they put up a lighted manger scene in their yard. So in 2016, most people understand that Christmas is about the birth of Jesus. Would you agree? But yet most of the world does not truly recognize what his birth meant. And because of that, Jesus is left out. Now we are told in verse 6 that Mary, in verse 6 of our text, we are told, but Mary brought forth Jesus, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The Jews also knew the Christmas story. You understand that? They would have been taught very in depth about how we look at the coming of Christ. They would have been taught very diligently about the birth of Christ. So they also knew the Christmas story, and they knew the prophecies spoken so many years before that promised them a Savior. Just as we study about the second coming of Christ, we know that there's certain prophecies have to go back. Randy and I talk about it all the time. There's preachers who are preaching it every single Sunday. These prophecies, they're done. These are done. These are complete. So these guys would have been the same thing with the birth of Jesus. They were looking at the promises of God. And on that night so long ago, all of those signs were right. We hear that even today when we talk about the second coming. What do we hear? We hear what? The time is right. So long ago, all the signs were right. And prophecy promised that he was coming, so they should have been what? They should have been watching. They should have been waiting. They should have been preparing and planning for his birth. Their list should have included this: watch for a Savior. Prepare for his arrival. Buy a crib. Make room in our home for him. Plan a baby shower. You know, some things like that. Now, the Jews were told in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that the promised Savior would be a human and not an angel. And in Genesis chapter 12, look, I'm giving you some of these prophecies. And in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, they were taught that the Savior would be a Jew and not a Gentile. In Genesis chapter 49, verse 10, they were told that he would come from the tribe of Judah. And in 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 17, told them that he would come from the line of David. We know that Joseph was of the lineage of David. The prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 declared that their Savior would be born of a virgin. And Micah chapter 5, verse 2 told them that he would be born in Bethlehem, the city of David. And on that night so long ago, the events occurred just as the scripture declared that it would. John chapter 1, verse 14 says it this way: and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What is this saying? He's saying this, that the Word became flesh. Do you ever give Bible, go to John 1, 1. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh, and he came here to this earth to live among us, God's glory with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. Do you understand that his glory in that moment in time is a profound reality? Because in the words of John MacArthur, that's a historian, that's who my Bible is a John MacArthur Bible. But in the words of John MacArthur, here's what MacArthur says about this. In that moment in time, in that instant of time, the infinite became finite. The infinite became finite. The eternal was conformed to time. The invisible became visible. The supernatural one reduced himself to natural. God took on human form and became human just like you and I. But yet he was, at the same time, he was still what? Who? God. And in the newborn face of Jesus, we see all the fullness of the glory of God. That's the greatest display of the glory of God that we can ever see is when, at that point in time, when you looked upon the face of Jesus. That's pretty important, isn't it? In the life of people who are seeking a coming Savior. But did you notice in all of this, the people missed it. They missed it. They missed the unmistakable glory of God among us because they got so caught up in the events of the census that they forgot what the prophets proclaimed. Now, I'm not exactly sure of what all the festivities would have been or what they would have looked like at the time of the census. I don't know. I can only imagine what that looked like. But you must keep in mind that people would have traveled from all over. You know, we're looking at Mary Joseph probably at least 100 miles away are coming in. So people would have traveled from all over to return to their ancestral birthplace. And many of these would have been relatives. And perhaps they would not have been, perhaps they would have not seen one another for years. So even though they were traveling for the census, I can imagine that there would have been a very festive atmosphere as people were reuniting with one another. Can you see it? Kind of like the excitement of family getting together for a family reunion or a holiday. And I believe that. And why do I believe that? Here, I want to tell you. Here's the great biblical reason. Because it makes sense. Right? Nevertheless, whatever the events that surrounded the census were, it consumed them so much so that they totally missed the Savior that they had waited so long for. They were anticipating it. They were longing for it to come. But they were so caught up that they missed it. John chapter 1 verse 11 tells us that Jesus came to his own and his own did not receive him. Verse 7 tells us that Jesus was born and his mother wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now the manger referred to in our text was probably a feeding trough for animals. That's what it most likely was. Our Savior was born in a place where livestock lived, where livestock ate, and where they relieved themselves. Therefore, you can imagine that it was not the most sanitary conditions for the birth of any baby, let alone the Savior of the world, the Son of God. All because there was no room for them in the inn. And as I said earlier, there would have been a lot of people traveling into Bethlehem. So it's possible that the reason there was no room was because there were so many people who were converging up on that city. So many people, yet none recognized that the Savior was about to be born, that there was going to be, that God was going to be among them. And no one was willing to make just a little bit of room for Mary to bring God in the flesh, Emmanuel, the great I am, they made no room for Mary to bring God into the world. He came to his own people, the line of David, yet no one had room for him, not even in their homes. And obviously not in their hearts, because they were too busy preparing for the census. And friends, it's sad to say that it doesn't seem that much has changed in the last 2,000 years. How sad is it that we who know that the birth of our Savior has come, we know that, amen? Jesus has come, and we make no room in our hearts or in our homes or in the, or in the events of the Christmas season like in our Christmas parties. or maybe even our Christmas dinner, or even on Christmas Day. But you here today, and I here today as a Christian, we need to ask ourselves a question. All of us, collectively, including me. Have you made plans this Christmas season to acknowledge Jesus as you prepare for Christmas? This is really going to be a pickup of last week's sermon. Listen, when we as modern day Christians leave Jesus unchecked, not a priority, when we leave Jesus unchecked, we are no different than those who lived 2,000 years ago. They were focused on the census and whatever went along with that, but they weren't watching, they weren't preparing, and they weren't expecting Jesus that night. Likewise, how often do we check off shopping? How often do we check off wrapping gifts? We check off baking. How often do we check off dinners and parties and all the other festivities? And we leave Jesus unchecked. We leave Jesus, watch, not glorified. Have you left Jesus unchecked in your preparations for Christmas? For many people, worship the holiday of Christmas. Amen. Even unchristians worship the holiday of Christmas and forget to worship the one responsible for Christmas. As you always hear it, the reason for the season. Because let me tell you how many, not all, but many will worship this holiday. This is how many will worship the holiday. Many will worship this holiday by going out and creating a massive debt. When we should be worshiping the one who came to erase our debt. Where's Jesus on your list? We worship the holiday worrying and stressing. We worship the holiday worrying and stressing more about what material gifts we will give. What am I going to get this? I don't know what to get them. They have everything. Or we'll say, I wonder what mom and dad's getting me. I wonder if I'm going to get everything on my list that I gave mom and dad. So we worry and stress more about material gifts we will give and gifts that we will receive than we are worrying about sharing the true gift of the season, Jesus Christ. Have you shared that with anyone? Where's Jesus on your checklist? We worship the holiday by spending all of our time preparing for the day. And we spend very little time preparing our hearts to be pure before God. All that cookies and all those cakes and those candies and those perfect pies, amen, sister. They have to be just right. They have to be pure. They have to be good. But how many times do we check our purity before God? How many of you spent as much time in the Word? Watch. I stepped on my own toes right here. Because this, I'm going to tell on myself, Mike. This is not the sermon that I had prepared for you, but I didn't have time to get you the sermon that I was working on. So watch. This is about me. How many of you spend as much time in the Word of God and in prayer and in Bible study? How many of you have spent as much time in the Word of God and in prayer and Bible study as you have shopping, baking, and wrapping? Where's Jesus on your list? What does your list look like for Christmas? Do you have Jesus? Do you have relationship, spending time with Him? Do you share the Christmas story with anybody? Do you ever offer up maybe a prayer of thanks, thanksgiving to God? Look, who in this place is not blessed? Have any of you thought about singing Happy Birthday to Jesus? Have you ever thought about looking out, going out intentionally, looking to meet someone's need? Did you know that there are thousands of people around us who spend Christmas alone because they have no one? Where would you think Jesus would be at this Christmas season? Here's a good one. Have you given to Lottie Moon? How about worship? Is worship on your checklist? Go to church. It's on a Sunday on Christmas. Listen to me, all you parents. You bring your kids in their pajamas. I'm serious. I'm not joking. You just drag them up, put them in the car, and you bring them in their pajamas, all right? So church, my charge to you for these next couple of weeks is this. Move Jesus from the bottom of the list. Don't just fit him in or squeeze him in. Move him from the bottom of the list and make him priority and put him on the top of the list. And then check your personal relationship with him. This is really a follow-up, like I said, to last week's message. It's transforming your priorities. Maybe try this. And you say, Pastor, what are you getting at? What do you mean? Here, let me give it to you. Maybe when you bake cookies, maybe when you break, or pie, I ain't going to tell you. Oh, wait a minute, my wife's not in here. I got a pie. You can't have it, just so you know, all right? Scrooge, all right? Listen, but when you're making cookies, pray as you're making them, as you're putting them together, maybe pray something like this. Lord, reveal yourself to whomever eats these cookies. Whatever you do, even baking, do it all for the glory of God. Amen? When you are preparing your list, prepare it all for the glory of God. Include him in your preparations. Include him in the holiday. Consider this. Consider reading the Bible account of the birth of Jesus this Christmas. Like I say, it's an old story, but it's always new, and you as God's child will never tire of it. Read it to your children before the gifts are open. Tell them of the greatest gift that was ever given, what the true Christmas story is. Explain to them the importance of why Jesus came to earth for us. Take time to pray and give thanks to Jesus for giving you a reason to celebrate before opening gifts under the tree. Huh. You say, well, what do you mean? How about this? Give thanks to the one who was born to hang on a tree. Take time to sing happy birthday to Jesus before opening your gifts. It is, after all, the date that we set aside to celebrate his birthday, right? Listen, bake a birthday cake specifically for Jesus and then put 2,049 candles on it. You won't forget that. Say Merry Christmas, not Happy Holidays. Seems silly, right? Do you know that, where's Sandy work over there? Royal King. Royal King pulled all their employees in, and if they do not answer the phone or greet you saying Merry Christmas, they'll get wrote up. I'm shopping at Royal King, dude. They are not permitted to say Happy Holidays. They are required to say Merry Christmas. Why? Keep Christ in Christmas. Consider as a family how you can give someone in need, how you can give to someone in need. How can you show Jesus to someone who has lost all hope during this season? Depression is mounts at this time of the year. And you know where depression is at oftentimes? Right among us. Consider helping someone. Or consider what you will give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Will you give so that the gospel of Jesus Christ can reach people who don't know him? We watched that movie. You watched how genuine that was. Would you give the gift of the gospel? What greater gift can we possibly give than the gospel? So listen, prepare and plan now. prepare and plan out. Make your priority now to add worship by being here to sing praises to our Savior on Christmas morning. Listen, I'll be here worshiping our Savior on Christmas morning, and I'm inviting you to come and join me to worship our Savior. Amen? Will you move Jesus to the top of your list? Would you leave room for Him? Would you prepare room for Him? Will you remember that He is the reason that we can celebrate Christmas? You know the story. You know the story. Will you remember Him as you frantically try to squeeze in everything that you need to get done this week, in the next couple weeks? Will you make room for Him in your schedule? Will you make room for Him in your heart? Listen, there may be some here today who have never made room for Jesus Christ in their heart at all. I don't know, maybe you've never done that. You've heard the birth story. You know that a baby named Jesus was born in a manger, but you've never truly allowed room for Him, for that baby to fill your heart. Listen to me, if that's you this morning, in a few minutes, we will sing a song of invitation. And when that happens, I want to invite you to come and invite Jesus into your heart, to make room for Him in your heart. You see, that's where Jesus wants to reside now. Because listen to me, although that baby Jesus who was born in a manger on a lonely night in Bethlehem, that baby grew up to be a man who was crucified and died on a cross at Calvary for your sins. That's the reason He was born. And history reveals that this also, history reveals that He died, but it also reveals something greater. He lives. And Scripture clearly proclaims that Jesus will return one day. I'm not going to preach that again at the beginning of the sermon. They all knew that this day was coming and they missed it. And we are looking now to saying He's coming. Jesus will return one day for those who have given their hearts, they've given themselves to Him and they follow Him in His ways. We are told in Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, He says, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." The first time Jesus came, He was born as a babe in a manger. He was born to die. Whether we like that or not, that's the truth of the Christmas story. But, when He returns this time, He will return as a victorious King. He will be the King of Kings, and He will be the Lord of Lords. There will be none beside Him, below Him, or above Him. He will come as the reigning King of all. And you know what He's going to do when He comes back? He's going to gather up all... Watch me. He's going to gather up all whose names are written on His list. You know, we teach our children that there's another guy that has a list. I want to tell you something. God has a list. And it's called the Lamb's Book of Life. You see, God has a list too. Question. Are you on it? 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 tells us this. Therefore, to abide in Him, because of this, God has a list. God has a list. Therefore, to abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence. Say the word security in there. That we have security and not to be ashamed before Him at His coming. How many people in that town of Bethlehem, once they figured out what had taken place, how would you like to have been that innkeeper? Not to be ashamed. Revelation chapter 19, verse 1 says, "Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God." Amen? Honor belongs to Him. Glory belongs to Him. Salvation belongs to Him. Listen to me. The time is right for His return. all of prophecy has been fulfilled. The question is, are you ready for his return? When Jesus came the first time, people weren't ready. They didn't have him on the list. Will you be ready when he comes? You know, we're just waiting. We should be watching, and we should be preparing and planning for his return. Knowing that when he arrives, our relationship with Jesus the Christ has been fully checked. And we will be found worthy of his name. Amen. Make room for him this Christmas season. Amen. That's my message to you. Make room for him this Christmas season. The glory of God in the face of a tiny baby. The fullest, most magnificent display of the glory of God in the face of a baby. Who would have thunk that? Who would have thought that? God did. And why? Because he knew it was the best way to dispel his greatest glory to you. He gave you his one and only son. Here. This is mine. He's now yours. Would you keep him in Christmas? Let's stand. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for reminding us. Father, it seems like such a simple message, but Father, it is a reminder that we need to keep checked on. We need to keep ourselves in check because we can get so involved. We can get so consumed that we will leave you off. We can leave you off. Father, I'm not saying it's even intentional, but it's highly probable if we don't keep it checked. So, Father, I ask that you, Father, put into us the importance of this season and that we, Father, will maintain a very profound spiritual checklist during this time. Father, for those who have never known Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, Father, that what the greatest time of the year to come to Christ and say, look, I've had you off the list far too long, and I need you to be in the top of the list, and I want to make room in my heart for you this day. So, Father, for those whom you are calling, those whom you are revealing yourself to, Father, that on this day, that they would cast themselves at your feet. They would cast themselves at your feet, and they would come and worship you by giving themselves to you. Would you call them? In Jesus' name, amen.